Hey, welcome back. Now you're listening to This with Chris show, where faith, culture, and real life meet. Okay, so now listen. I know, it's October, and aside from college football, everywhere you look is pumpkins, skeletons, and 12-foot zombies in people's front yards. Now, my kids personally think it's awesome, right? My wife loves it. I honestly think it's tacky, and I'm also trying to figure out why Home Depot now needs an exorcism aisle, okay? Today, we're talking about one of the most debated and, frankly, most misunderstood nights of the year, which is Halloween. Now, some families go all out. I have friends back in Atlanta that go all out all month long, right? And then matching costumes, haunted houses, trick-or-treat routes, map like a military operation. And others, right, they just tend to skip the day completely. And that's fine. And then there's this middle ground that all of the rest of us live in, right? Where we want our kids to have fun, but we're also aware that something about this night can feel kind of dark, right? Darker than the rest. So today, we're going to go deep. We're going to talk about the real history of Halloween, where it came from, how it changed, and even what the Bible says about Halloween. And more importantly, how to navigate it with wisdom and joy. Okay, so let's kick off with the roots of Halloween. So long before candy corn, which is nasty by the way, and spirit Halloween stores popping up in abandoned strip malls around the country, Halloween began as Samhain, right, which is spelled S-A-M-H-I-H-A-I-N. It's a Celtic festival celebrated over 2,000 years ago in Ireland, Scotland, and some parts of northern France. Now, the Celts, they marked their new year on November 1st, which symbolized the end of summer, the harvest, and the beginning of the cold, dark winter months, a time associated with death. Sorry. Now, they believed that on October 31st, that boundary between the world of the living and the dead became kind of blurred. Okay, on that night, ghosts of the dead would return to Earth. Now, picture this, okay? Bonfires blazing, people dressed in, like, animal skins and masks, trying to disguise themselves so that these spirits wouldn't recognize them. It was basically ancient spiritual camouflage. Now, they'd also make sacrifices to Celtic gods, hoping for protection through the winter. Farmers would leave food kind of like out to appease all the wandering spirits. That's actually where the idea of leaving treats came from. Except back then it was more like, please don't haunt my cattle, not please give me some Reese's or Twix. Okay. When the Romans invaded Celtic lands around 43 AD, they brought along, you know, their own holidays, right? And then kind of like intertwined them with the Samhain, holiday as well. Right now, two key holidays that kind of merged from that. One was called Feralia, a day to honor the dead, right? And then a festival for Pomona, the goddess of fruit and trees. Her symbol, the apple, right? And that's likely where bobbing for apples during Halloween kind of came from, right? It's an ancient little echo of something that started in pagan Rome. The church stepped in, right, kind of like redeeming that calendar, okay? So fast forward a few hundred years, and then Christianity spreads across Europe, okay? The church starts encountering all of these pagan celebrations, Samhain, solstice rituals, fertility festivals, and decides, instead of fighting them outright, kind of to redeem it, right, to accept it. So in 609 AD, Pope Boniface dedicated the Pantheon, right, in Rome to all Christian martyrs and declared All Martyrs' Day, right? Later it expanded to include All Saints, becoming All Saints' Day. Then Pope Gregory moved it up to November 1st, possibly to line up with Samhain, giving believers a way to celebrate holiness instead of all the heathenry that was kind of associated with October 31st. The night before October 31st became known as All Hallows Eve, okay, which eventually shortened to Halloween. So technically, Halloween used to be holy. It was meant to be a time of prayer, remembrance, and honoring those who'd lived faithfully before us. But, as we know, it didn't quite stay that way for long, right? Enter the new world and the new traditions, right, that we've all kind of grown to know today. So, when the Irish and Scottish immigrants came to the United States in the early 1800s or whatever, they brought Halloween with them, right? It evolved to something more social and less spiritual. So they started holding, autumn gatherings, telling ghost stories, playing games, and, you know, obviously my favorite part has, for years past, has been eating, right? Lots of eating. By the early 1900s, Halloween had kind of become this community event, not a spiritual one. The dark elements of Halloween at that point had gotten toned down, right? There were still like mischief and pranks involved in it, but then came the 1950s and you know, the rise of trick-or-treating, right? Suburban America turned it into this wholesome, costume-filled, candy-collecting tradition we all know today. A lot of it was sponsored by, I guess, corporate America, right, with candy companies and things like that. But as the decades rolled on, horror culture, right, Hollywood and mass commercialization revived those darker roots. The pendulum, right, it kind of swung back. Now you can't walk into a Target without bumping into a display of bloodied clown masks or spell books. What started as All Hallows Eve, right, a sacred night, morphed into something that celebrates fear. And here's where we as Christians have to be discerning, okay? Let's talk a little bit more about that. Let's unpack that, because there is a twist to this, right? So let's pause for a second and really get real. We live in a culture obsessed with the supernatural. Ghost tours, witch TikToks, astrology, crystals, tarot cards, like the whole deal. Halloween becomes a magnet for all of it, okay? But here's the problem. When you glorify evil, you kind of invite it. I truly believe that. The Bible is crystal clear about this, you guys. So, look, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, right? That's Ephesians 5:11. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with having fun. There is something wrong with celebrating darkness. Yesterday I put on, I think it was Hulu or Apple TV, one of those, and all of them, like these horror movies. My 7-year-old's like, dude, Dad, I want to watch something fun. Like, you ain't watching that. When I walk through a store, like in October, I can't help but notice how normalized death, the demons and evil imagery has, you know, have become, right? Skeletons hanging from trees, fake blood on driveways, costumes that, you know, for kids that look like something out of The Exorcist. It's not about me being prudish or any of us being prudish. It's about being spiritually awake. Because what's funny to the world may be actually dangerous in the unseen. And as parents, right, we have to ask, what seeds are we planting in our kids' hearts when we normalize this stuff, right? Now, I don't expect all of you to be like, oh my God, this is amazing content, and we're going to really do... And I'm not asking you to, right? But I do want to share what our family does, because, this is just what we do. So take it or leave it, whatever, right? But for us, Halloween is simple. We don't run from it. We don't bow to it either, okay? We let our kids dress up. We even dress up with our kids, right? Superheroes, animals, fun family costumes. We go trick-or-treating. But we draw the line when things start getting dark. We avoid haunted houses. gore, witchcraft, and anything really that mocks faith. Okay? We use it as a night to shine light. We hand out candy, really good candy, right? And we smile. We like to talk to our neighbors. We make it about community, not chaos. Because that's where the confusion sets in. All right? Every year we remind our kids who, you know, 7 and 3. So last year we've been 6 and 2. My 2-year-old could care less. But we're reminding them why we do it that way. Because faith isn't fragile, right? It's strong enough to stand in the middle of cultural chaos and still shine. We don't make them feel any less. They know what we stand for, and it's also not calling attention to themselves to separate them. You can celebrate creativity without celebrating corruption, all right? You can enjoy pretending without inviting the darkness, and you can dress up for fun without dressing down your faith. And I think that's what's most important for us. You know, this year, my son wanted to be a vampire. I was like, I'm sorry, we're not doing vampire. Let's do Wizard of Oz. Or there's a witch in there, by the way. But you really have to pick this from a, you know, PG perspective as well. Now, there's no one-size-fits-all rule with this, right? The truth is, some Christians avoid Halloween entirely, and that's also okay. Others, like our family, we redeem it in our own way, and that's also okay. Romans 14 actually speaks to this, okay? Each one should be fully convinced in their own mind. This is freedom of choice. This is, you know, how you interact with it, okay? If you can participate without compromising your faith, do it with joy, with a smile. If it pricks your conscience, sit it out, right? And be peaceful. But what we can all do is use it as an opportunity to show the world that light always wins over darkness. And I'm going to talk a lot about that, right? In fact, I talked about it on the episode a couple of days ago. Maybe instead of fake gravestones in the yard, we put up scripture verses. Maybe not. It's up to you. Maybe instead of haunted houses, we host harvest parties, pumpkin patches and things like that, or community nights that share love instead of fear. maybe we take the one night our culture obsesses over death. Maybe we remind them who conquered it, right? These are just ideas, or maybe not. Here's some final reflections for this episode is, look, at the end of the day, Halloween doesn't have to be demonic. It doesn't have to divide, right, believers or families. It can be another day we just use to teach our kids truth, to laugh with them, to connect with them, and to live as light in the darkness. Because I'll tell you, here's what's 1,000% certain. The devil doesn't own October 31st or any other day of the year, but especially October 31st. Darkness doesn't get the final say, and fear doesn't get to define my family, right? We do. We get to define it, right? We get to define by faith. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that's John 1:5. So I leave you with that, right? Take this content, do with it what you will. Hopefully you enjoyed it, right? Unless, especially the history lesson and so on, and where Halloween kind of originates and the back and forth our culture has done with the lightness and the darkness. But if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on Spotify and YouTube. Share it with a friend who might need to hear this perspective. I don't know. I don't know anything, honestly. But I do know this. I stay grounded, right? I stay faithful, and for all of you, keep shining your light. You also stay grounded and stay faithful. And even on Halloween night. Love you guys. Enjoy Halloween in like 2 weeks. Bye.